All right, we now have a quorum and are ready to start our board meeting. We welcome those in attendance in Tooele, welcome all of our staff to Tooele, and those who are online, we thank you for your attendance and your participation. We are going to begin. The board will consider moving to a closed session for a very short period of time to discuss matters on personnel and real property acquisition. After that, we will return, Larry, to this link for the remainder of the board meeting.
I would move that we go into closed door, the Inland Port meeting, and I guess the time is like 10:03. Date is what? December the 5th.
Perfect. Thank you, Jerry. We have a motion to move the board into a closed session today at 10:03. The remainder of our members are at the Tooele County Council Chamber at 47 South Main Street in Tooele, and the rest of us are via electronic meeting for the purpose of the discussion of a matter of character, personnel, competence, or physical or mental health of an individual, and a strategy session to discuss the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property. Jerry, is that all right if that is your motion?
That is my motion.
Ryan, can I get a second from you?
Second.
Perfect. All those in favor, Larry, if you'll do roll call vote for us.
Yes, Jerry Stevenson.
Yes.
Mike Schultz.
Move on.
Abby Osborne.
Yes.
Ryan Starks, sorry.
Yes.
And then it looks like Miles is on as well, Larry.
I think that may actually be Brooke.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. We will move on. The board and necessary staff will step down the hallway and into a private Zoom room. We will reconvene publicly here immediately following the closed door session. Okay. Board members will move to that other link.
This recording was edited to remove approximately 33 minutes of silence. The board meeting reconvened at 10:36 a.m.
Okay, perfect. We're missing still one more board member to get us back started, right? I guess we can get started. Then we can go from there, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. The rest of them are coming back over. All right. Thank you for the public and those in Tooele for indulging us on a closed session. We have completed that part of our agenda, and today our agenda is going to be pretty consolidated. We're going to do the best we can to get out of here in an hour. It includes an executive director's report, presentation of an ongoing development of a statewide logistics strategy, review and updating of several existing policies, consideration of a new business incentive in Box Elder County, the introduction of a proposed amendment to the VRC in Spanish Fork Industrial Park, and local interests here in Tooele, which we apologize that we're not all there. I don't know if any of you heard us talking before. It does feel like we're in session and going here, so we're all kind of scattered a million different places. We will have public comment at the end of the meeting before we take votes. For those of you in attendance, if you would like to speak, if you could fill out a comment card and hand it to Diana. I'm sure she's waving her hands right now somewhere in the room. She will order those and number those in order of those coming in. Again, we will have a maximum of 2 minutes for each public comment, and then we will allow for about 15 minutes of those. If we don't get to you, you can always comment on inlandportauthority.utah.gov. All right, a couple of board business items. Let's begin by the approval of the amendments for November 6th and 16th. We had two board meetings in November. Can I get a motion for those 2 minutes, meeting minute approval?
So moved.
Ryan, thank you. And a second. Mr. Speaker, I think you're the only other board member on right now.
I will second that motion.
Perfect. All those in favor, let's just say aye. There's three of us here right now.
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. I'll motion those pass. Ben, now the time is yours. Give us a brief executive director report. Tell us what's been going on.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep my remarks very, very short. Let me first just say welcome to everybody who's in the room. It's a pleasure to be here in Tooele County this morning. We feel like this effort has been a long time coming. We'll go through our efforts during the presentations on the two respective project areas. But let me just first explain for those who are here and wondering and trying to understand exactly how this flows. Let me just explain briefly how the process works. To create a project area, we have to spend months putting together and understanding exactly what the local community is wanting, not just in terms of economically, but also environmentally, meeting with different groups, understanding different positions, and making sure that our final report is reflective of our efforts and what we hear. Let me first say, this includes meetings with the Tooele County Commission, meetings with the local COG, so not the Association of Governments, it was COG, here in Tooele, and other groups that have an interest in this project area. We then have to take it through a two-cycle board meeting. The first board meeting was held in October, where this was presented. That was in Beaver County. And then a second board meeting of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board. That is what we are doing here today. We like to hold this second meeting in the community that we're actually in. So the way today's meeting will flow is we're actually part of a board meeting to adopt this. We cannot have anything to acknowledge as far as a project area goes until the board actually adopts it. So assuming the board does adopt it, then we will officially have a project area in conjunction with Tooele County and Grantsville City here in Tooele County. So that is our purpose. So this is actually a full-on board meeting where we are conducting business, and at the same time, we'll be having an opportunity to kind of celebrate the creation of this new project area as well. So we invite those who are interested to stay after for a panel that we will where we'll be able to go a little bit more in depth on these specific project areas. And probably more so than what we may be able to even within the meeting. So we're excited for this. Madam Chair, we have a few other items, but in interest of time, I'm actually going to keep my comments short so that we can get to the business of the agenda.
I said, thanks, Ben. Really appreciate it. And for those of you that we can't see as board members in Tooele, thank you for being there. And we're super excited to have phase two of the conversation on the project sites there in your area. Donald Ludlow, if you could come up and give the presentation on the statewide logistics strategy development with CPCS, our partner on the logistics. We'd appreciate it.
Okay, great. Hopefully this will come up in just a moment. There we go. Okay, fantastic. All right. Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here to meet with you today to talk about the Utah Logistics Strategy. This is an ongoing project that is being conducted to inform UIPA's mission and strategies, both statewide and in the Northwest Quadrant jurisdictional area and project areas. So I'll be walking you through a brief update today on our efforts to date and also discussing some of our next steps. So I'll walk through the recent activities of the work, talk briefly about some of our early findings. And again, these are things that we're hearing from people who are in the logistics world, stakeholders in the logistics space, on the logistics enablers and inhibitors in the state of Utah. We'll talk a little bit about commodity flows and trade lanes, including opportunities for UIPA and project areas to capture additional traffic and possibly to divert some traffic from truck to rail. And then we'll be talking about next steps. What have we completed so far? The work has been ongoing since this fall. We've conducted a number of workshops with Utah logistics stakeholders, including several on October 25th. The focus was on the jurisdictional area, but also discussed statewide issues. And the aim there was really to understand the strengths and weaknesses just to be able to position UIPA better and more competitively within the national arena. A number of site visits have been conducted, including Northern Utah project areas and Delta Air cargo facilities. We've also been conducting initial statewide county level commodity flow analysis to really be able to get down at the county level to the industries that are critical to anchoring logistics flows and data collection. We're engaged in and will continue to be engaged in ongoing discussions and consultations with stakeholders statewide. What have we found so far? What we have heard from those who we've interacted with so far is that Utah is well positioned for logistics in the future. It's well connected to West Coast ports, has a competitive business climate that's stable, excellent educational assets, including major possibilities to work with research and development capabilities at universities, statewide workforce training programs to support job creation, affordable power, multiple class one and short line railroads providing manifest freight access to the rest of the country, population growth contributing to the labor force, and increased shipments between the Midwest and the West Coast may provide value capture opportunities for rural areas in Utah. So we're hearing a lot of positives about the future and about Utah's position. There's also things that could inhibit logistics from developing further in Utah. For example, not all parts of the state currently have sufficient rail service, and not all shippers have access to multiple carriers, including containerized intermodal rail service. Railroads have abandoned some lines due to market conditions and railroad consolidation. We've heard that the vision for the jurisdictional area has not fully saturated beyond core stakeholders, that mid-skill workforce challenges are present and have been exacerbated by some of the housing affordability. There is a lack of awareness of importance of trade, transportation, and logistics to creating jobs and economic opportunity. Increased financing costs can create some impediments in declining water. These are all things that are part of the strategy and that we will be looking to address, but we are appreciative of the frank conversations that we've been able to have with people in the logistics industry who make decisions about where things are shipped and built and manufactured and where employment can be catalyzed in the state. So we plan to learn more. These are early findings. These will likely change, but this is a quick snapshot of some of the things that we've learned so far. In terms of the commodity flow analysis, we've been looking at what is really moving in Utah and its counties on truck, rail, and air, looking at the origins and destinations and the movements by commodity type, tonnage, and value. What we found is that Utah is so far, and we've really been focusing on trucking and air, we'll in the near future be focusing on rail, is that trucking into Utah is incredibly important. The top commodities inbound include an array of different industries, dairy, warehouse and distribution, motor vehicles, in some cases waste and scrap, and dairy products. When you're looking at commodities moving out of Utah, the picture changes a bit. These are exports, and I should say in the maps, the darker the shading, the more intense those trading partnerships are. You can see that relationships between Wyoming and Colorado, California are really critical. If we flip back to the previous slide, we see that a lot of the major metropolitan areas around the country, Dallas, Fort Worth, Atlanta, Chicago, all of these kind of pop as key trading partners for the state. So that things change a little bit when we're looking at exports, pharmaceuticals, warehousing, zinc, electrical manufacturing. All of these things are becoming really important vehicle parts, which is obviously linked to a lot of the work that happens in northern Utah. The key takeaway from this is that we're really trying to identify the truck movements that could be eligible for rail or for value added in Utah to contribute more fully to the Utah economy. The snapshot of the counties is similar. We do have data for all of the counties now in Utah, including top origins, destinations, and what's moving through them, and UIPA will have that available in the future. This, probably to no surprise, highlights the intensity of freight in counties along the Wasatch Front. And in the case of tonnage, some of the other counties have different patterns, including Emory and Sevier, highlighting other commodities. When we look at through movements, we have found indeed that Utah is the crossroads of the West for through traffic. California anchors a lot of the movements that are traveling through Utah by truck, and a lot of that is between the Midwest. Utah does anchor movements that move to all states across the country, but there's a particularly pronounced trade pattern with the U.S. Midwest and states along the I-80 corridor. A lot of this is agricultural, including agricultural exports from the Midwest. And then a lot of this is export related. About a quarter of this is commercial and consumer goods moving in containers through the California ports, through Utah, and then on to other destinations. So what this is telling us is that there are possibly additional opportunities to look for Utah to be able to value capture in some of those supply chains as things are moving across the state, and to also potentially shift some of these movements that are coming through the state by rail to truck. And we'll be looking at the opportunities and possibilities of doing that as we move forward. As a final slide here, we are also looking closely at aviation. Air cargo is a major focus of the work that we're doing, and we know that Salt Lake International Airport is one of the leading economic engines in the state. A snapshot of some of the commodities that are moving in and out, small packages reflecting e-commerce, gold ore is moving out. We've heard that recently from Delta Airlines as well. So there's a tremendous opportunity within the state and anchored at Salt Lake City International Airport to further experience additional air cargo opportunities and possibilities. And we look forward to digging into this in a bit more detail. We will be conducting additional consultations with stakeholders, additional analysis, working on snapshots at the Utah and jurisdictional area state of logistics, and then having some additional stakeholder outreach, including some town halls this winter and spring. So with that brief update, back to the board and those present to see if you have any questions or comments.
Yeah. Appreciate. Thank you for the update. We appreciate this every month. Does anyone on the board have any questions or comments for Dawn? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Thanks for continuing to do this work and getting out around the state as we name and identify more facilities and sites that you can add this data to.
Great, thank you very much.
Next up, Amy Brown Coffin. We've got four board policies. Three of them we actually went through in the last two board meetings, and we will be approving those later today after public comment, but one of them is a new policy here for the board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to speak specifically to any changes that have been made to these three policies that we presented in the last board meeting, and then also talk about the procurement policy, which we are making revisions to. This was one policy that we're presenting in this meeting for its first review, but was also approved last year. As far as it relates to the board policy review, which is BP06. We did make one minor change with the addition of minor revisions, basically allowing for any minor policy revisions that include non-substantive changes, link updates, corrections, correction of errors, including grammatical and typos, and policy owner changes or policy template updates. We'll not present them for board approval. They'll just be presented to for approval internally with our executive director, and then they'll be denoted as a minor policy revision. And as we have all of these board approved policies publicly available on our site. So that is the new addition to this policy since it was last presented. We have not made any changes since the whistleblower policy, which is BP08. And then the internal control program, BP09, those have not had any changes since last presented, so I won't do any updates on those. Those three policies is what we'll be taking board action on as a follow-up agenda item. I'd like to focus now on the changes that we have for the procurement policy, BP07. We've made some additional enhancements as we have a limited agreement assigned with state purchasing, and we've been working hand in hand with them on our large procurements. They've given us advisement as well. So we're adding some additional components that include the RFI taken straight from the Utah Procurement Code, the request for statement of qualifications, also known as RFSQ. Also adding design professional services purchasing, and then added additional sections that include the correcting for immaterial errors, clarifying information, guidance around the formalization of the evaluation committees for solicitations, how we handle multi-year contracts, which we already have board approval for, a section on protest, and then prohibited conduct and penalties. We removed the confidential services as a purchase type, as well as competitive sealed proposals, and really focused on those additions. We've added enhanced guidance around how we handle the competitive sealed bid process, also known as the RFP, and then did additional updates to definitions for different procurement types and roles and responsibilities. So those are the changes that you will see at this time. We will be seeking board approval in our January board meeting. I will pause here for any questions from the board.
Anyone have any questions? Great. Amy, thanks again. Appreciate you. And the outreach that you do to the community too on the input on these policies.
Thank you.
Ben Byes, you're up next. We've got a Golden Spike project area incentive consideration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We do have another project area incentive proposal. This is the second one for the Golden Spike in the Port project area. It's been really cool to see these coming in for the area because both of these, the first was Lakeshore Learning that went up in Garland and Tremont. Companies that really were testing the waters and really had to be a competitive environment. We had a lot of competition for both of those projects. So really good to see the incentive package being meaningful and being important to these to this project area. So the company for this one is Breedor USA. And they are a food and pastry manufacturing company. They will be located in the Brigham City zone of the Golden Spike Inland Port project area. Total capital expenditures of about $277 million over three phases. They do high quality European bakery products for the North American market. They're going to be right there along the highway, along the rail. So a really good location for a manufacturing facility. There's a three phases. $97 million would be the initial one aimed for 2026. I did love in their application, we asked for any potential negative impacts. And the negative impact that they mentioned was odors related to baking. So I feel that's a pretty good – I don't even know if that would be a negative impact. It might be a positive impact. So pretty good in terms of negative impacts. Per the project area plan and budget, we allow up to 30% tax rebate of the differential of the property taxes that they're paying. That would be once they hit that $100 million threshold. So it might take them, if everything goes as planned, might take them into their second phase before they hit that top amount of $30 million with $97 million projected in phase one. The community has also asked for some community investment related to internships and some other support that we will include in the contract so that property tax differential rebate would be contingent on those being completed as well. So the proposed motion when the time is right, Madam Chair, would be to approve an annual tax differential rebate up to 30% of the differential post-completion of the development that would run for 25 years. Contingent on their continued operation in the project area for that time. Happy to answer any questions on this incentive.
Board members, any questions on this expansion of the Golden Spike project area?
No questions. I would just speak in favor of it. I think it'll be a good thing for Box Elder.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ben Byes, thank you for the update. We have a similar amendment consideration on the Virk Industrial Park Project area, Scott Wolford is going to give us an update on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've been exhorted to use haste in this presentation, so I'll forego the normal pleasantries as I start. Let's go to second slide. Who's doing slides? Oh, all the way back there. Madam Chair, in our code 1158.504, it shows that an amendment to a project area plan will, in section one, subsection one, will follow the same procedure as creating a project area. I'm going to forego all of the standard statutory requirements, as this is just an amendment and those portions were not changing. What the proposed amendment will do is to add, give me the next slide. Wait for it. It's going to be worth it. I swear it's going to be worth it. 418 acres to the north, northwest side of the project area boundary. The city, even though the project area was created prior to our wetlands mitigation policy going into effect, they've also asked to add wetlands mitigation into allowable uses of differential, and Spanish Fork City has communicated an intention to follow that policy, even though it isn't a requirement. And also the budget has been updated to reflect the projections of the new boundaries. This is first presentation only, so we don't anticipate any board action today. But with that, I would be happy to answer any questions, Madam Chair.
Any questions from the board? That project area that we saw in the previous slide, I'm assuming the grayed out area is the wetlands area, Scott.
The grayed out area, the dotted line is the project area boundary change. The city has parsed the parcels, has split the parcels to eliminate wetlands from those areas. However, our policy does allow us to spend differential outside of the project area itself to enhance or mitigate wetlands that could be affected or benefit the community.
Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate it. Any other questions from the board on this one? We'll take this up for a vote next time we meet.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, let's talk about why we're in Tooele County today. We've been talking about this project for quite some time. We delayed it a month to get some more information and some further clarification for the board. But we initially brought it up in October at our board meeting. We saw two project areas for Tooele County, the 20 Wells Inland Port project area and the Tooele Valley Inland Port project area. The 20 Wells is actually in Grantsville, pretty much encompasses most of the area in Grantsville, but the other one is in the Tooele Valley as well. Steve Smith will give us an update on this, and then we will have discussion on this new Inland Port project area. I guess these new Inland Port project areas.
Thank you, Chair. And members of the board, you'll recall that during our October board meeting, we presented the draft project area plan for a project area in Grantsville. We are now calling this 20 Wells, and we're excited to share the final project area plan and budget for this area with you today. In your materials, you will see the project area and plan and budget included. As usual, this was posted on our website and also communicated in advance through the public notice website. The project area plan and budget has very detailed information about this plan that we would refer you to. Again, with all of our project areas, we feel that this is critical to and needed in supporting and assisting in advancement and efficiencies in the logistical needs of the region, but also has statewide implications and benefits. And again, this project area 20 Wells is another critical component in our statewide and statutory mission. I do want to make one note about a change since our draft. We have amended the boundaries of this project area. They have reduced in size, and that was really to account for an existing CRA within the original boundaries of that. So it is a little bit smaller than what we had presented to you back in October, but still very excited to what we'll be able to do here. On the next slide, as usual, we've been through this in board meetings, but we want to make sure we note that we have some very specific statutory requirements here. Grantsville City, initially the legislative body has to open the door for a project area, which they did through a resolution on September 6th. That copy of that resolution is included in the project area plan and budget under Exhibit C. The project is also created following the approval of our UIPA's wetland policy, which requires 1% of differential be used for mitigation or enhancement of wetlands that may exist in the area or be impacted by the project. And that's Board Policy 17 that you can find on our website. With that, I would like to turn time over to Grantsville City Manager Jesse Wilson, who will go over economic benefits and public benefits of this project area.
So, Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We're excited about the inland port coming to Grantsville. So one of the reasons we chose the name 20 Wells is that was one of the original names of the Grantsville area due to the many artesian wells that we have out in that out in our area. And I just wanted to just talk a little bit about what this could mean to Grantsville and to Tooele County by coming here. My family and I, we moved here in 2005. We moved to Tooele and lived here for a few years and then moved out to Grantsville and raised our family out there. And we have loved this area. A lot of my time living here is I traveled into Salt Lake or to various communities because of my work. And by being able to have jobs here, we can keep our people local, which is a great thing. And we do know now that we do pull some people from the Salt Lake area that do come to work out here. But I feel that we can keep our people here. So one of the economic benefits that we feel that the inland port can help us provide is up to $650 million in capital to attract businesses to come here. And that would produce up to about $100 million of tax revenue for our taxing entities. So that would help our schools, that would help our local governments and our county with improvements. It would also help us to not lose businesses to other entities. We feel like where we are, we have a strong corridor along I-80. We're close to I-15, also close to the airport and international airport where people literally fly all over the world. So with those things, we feel that the 20 Wells project area would be a good area to add to the inland port. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. And really, as always, appreciate the partnership and the help as we put this project area plan together. The city has been amazing in that. On the next slide, we outline just the industries of focus for recruitment. As we went through with Box Elder just a few moments ago, recruitment is part of our focus with the project area plans. And we do look at post-performance business incentives, and we will here as well. Incentives for this area will be focused on what's on the slide above, light industrial, manufacturing, distribution, and data centers. But in addition to that, incentive qualifications do need to be met, as are outlined in the project area plan, and those include things such as limitations on water usage, as well as educational and internship opportunities. And again, these are post-performance incentives, so any company that's awarded one has to demonstrate that they're following through with those. Lastly, I'm not going to go through the whole alphabet here today, but I am going to note that we do feel that there is strong alignment to the UIPA statutory objectives and goals. Particularly Section H, which is the facilitation of the transportation of goods. This is a very well rail-served piece area, and we expect to utilize that. It supports and promotes land uses on authority jurisdictional and other land in other authority project areas to generate economic development, including rural economic development. And Section K, which states that one of our objectives is to establish a project of regional significance, which we very strongly feel this will. With that, members of the board, the staff of the Utah Inland Port Authority formally requests your consideration in passing the resolution creating the 20 Wells Inland Port Project Area. And we'll take any final questions you have at this time.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Steve.
You bet.
Any comments from the board members on the Grantsville project?
Abby, this is Victoria.
Fire away.
So we mentioned data centers, which historically have been water heavy, followed by a caveat about water usage. I want to get clarity and reassurance for my little brain and my little heart that any data center considerations would reflect newer technologies that are not dependent on high water usage. Is that correct?
I would say that's absolutely correct. And in fact, data centers in general, as we've looked at those throughout the state, really air-cooled technology be the way that we would lean into any data center here. It would have to be only typical water usage for bathrooms and things along those lines, I would say.
That's correct. And that's as we've looked into those industries. With their newer technology, they don't require as much water as they used to in the past. So that's one thing that we would focus on then.
That's reassuring. I would actually love if in all of our project areas, this is something we pushed. I know as a city, we were able to do a cap that allows most reasonable, highly monetizable industry, but is water conscious. You know, we passed 200,000 gallons a day usage. So thank you so much for being conscientious of it.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thanks, Victoria. Any other questions from the board? Great. Scott, I think you're coming up and going to tell us about the Tooele Valley Inland Port project area, and we'll discuss that one.
Yes, I am, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity to present. This is the second presentation of the Tooele Valley project area. Again, the first one was done in October. We anticipate board action today on this one. You will find the project area plan and budget draft in your board meeting materials. It was also included in the materials sent in advance of the meeting and posted on the public meeting notice site and the Inland Port Authority website. The plan and budget draft includes detailed information regarding the logistical, economic, and environmental considerations of the project area, and it will represent a region of economic significance in the Tooele County area. In addition to our current and planned project areas, we feel that this adds a critical piece to the puzzle in meeting our statutory mission and supporting long-term economic benefits to the state of Utah. There are four statutory requirements needed to affect a port project area. They are the need to effectuate a public purpose, a defined public benefit, that the project area be economically sound and feasible, and that it promote the statutory goals and objectives of the Port Authority. Additionally, each participating governmental body must invite the Port Authority to create the project area. The Tooele County Council has passed a resolution supporting and requesting the creation of this project area. Going fast and I'm running out of air. We have invited Tooele County Council Chair Jared Hamner to present with us on the project area today. And he's going to talk a little bit about how the project area will benefit their region. Councilman Hamner.
Thank you, Madam Chair and board members. I apologize. I'm a little under the weather, so I have a mask on here. But let me just, as we look through the numbers are sound. EDC Utah gave us a number of 2018 that 70% of our working adults traveled from Tooele County to other counties for work purposes. And today it's over 75%, so it continues to increase. And what we're looking for is to be able to, I think Jesse mentioned this, keep our locals working here where they can return to their families. If you look at the psychiatric journal, it is imperative that parents, along with children, are able to eat dinner together to discuss how their days went for mental health or educational. When you have parents that can't get home because of traffic or weather-related incidences, that's something to consider also. We have attracted a lot of businesses here in Tooele City along with Tooele County that these projects would enhance and be beneficial and accommodate one another. So with that, we're excited. We're thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I would just add, and he hit the 75% much more adequately than I would, but add that we project an additional $18 million in property tax revenue to taxing entities. And just as a side note, I worked 13 years in 911 dispatch, and back in my day, a few years ago, boy, Tooele County was flush with federal dollars to help with social services, and those have all but dried up. And so we truly believe that helping increase the revenue of the county to deliver not just public safety, but government services, we think will be a boon and an asset to the community, and we're committed to working through the 25 years to make that happen. We will focus on the industries that we'd like to focus on for potential incentives and recruitment will be very closely aligned with Grantsville, the 20 wells project area, being light industrial manufacturing distribution and air-cooled data centers. And again, this promotes the goals and objectives laid out in statute, those being A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, Q, and R. I'd like to thank Councilman Hamner for being with us, and we as an administrative staff heartily endorse and recommend that the board approve and create the Tooele Valley Port Project area. And with that, Madam Chair, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Scott, appreciate that. Lynn, if I think you're running the slide, will you just go back to the project area slide on that particular one? I just want the public and board members to recognize where this sits. I mean, it is so incredibly close to I-80. Obviously the UP main line. This is exactly for logistical purposes where we want port projects to be. And so kudos to the staff and to those in the community that recognized the nexus here and are moving forward with this. So any other comments or questions from the board before we move on to some public comment? Okay. Councilman Scott, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
So let's move on to public comment. I mentioned at the beginning of the board meeting that we will have a few minutes for public comment just for those of you in the audience to voice comment and concern. If you haven't given your name already to Diana, she will take those public comment cards. Once your name is announced, you have 2 minutes and there will be a timer buzzer that will go off. In order to support a respectful meetings, items that disrupt the meeting, intimidate other participants, or cause safety concern are not allowed and will not be tolerated. Again, if you do not get to comment in the period of time that we have today, you can always put your comments in writing at inlandportauthority.utah.gov. Ben, I think you have the cards, and if you could name the folks and have them come up and maybe cue the next person as well.
Thank you, Brittany. First, we will have Scott Dieselbeck come up. And then after Scott, we will have Mike Crewley.
Thank you, Council, UIPA. I'll try to hurry. 2 minutes is not much time, but I'll try to get to my concerns as fast as I can. I did see the article in the Tooele transcript announcing this. And so I went to your website and tried to stumble through 40 pages and gathered some things that concern me, sent some comments to the Tooele City Council, but they'll be addressed, I think, in a different forum. But one thing that concerned me is when I got to the taxing portion of it, and I sent a comment to Mr. Wolford, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, concerned about what burden would be on Tooele County residents. The comment was, there will be none. Now, I went back and looked at some numbers, and I'm not sure I understand everything correctly, but when I looked at the numbers on the taxing entities on my 2023 Tooele County tax notice, as opposed to the taxing entity rate on the Tooele County and 20 wells, when you toll it up, that rate is higher. Now, how can there not be a tax increase to the Tooele County residents if the taxing entity rates total are not higher should this plan go through? So that's one of my concerns. I have others relative to infrastructure and traffic and environmental concerns. I'm not going to be able to address them in 2 minutes, but I would like to hear some clarification on the taxes and the burden that is going to be placed on Tula County residents. Thank you for your time. And one more thing. I am opposed to this project, and I respectfully request that you vote against it. Thank you.
All right, Mike Crowley.
Crowley.
Thank you. And then Margaret Boswell.
But my concerns is, I'm sure none of you folks live out there close to that, so it won't affect you near as much as it does most of the people around there. So what my concerns is, why should we leave this important issue up to you four or five people to vote on it instead of putting it out a special election and let the people of the county that it's really going to affect take a vote on it and be concerned about the residents of Tooele instead of just counting the money? It seems to me that if you're all voting, you've already approved the project according to the transit bulletins, the two areas. Nobody else had a chance to. So my question is, why can't we put a special election period and put this vote to the vote of the public? Are there any answers?
So during the public comment time, it's not a time to address the board or, excuse me, to ask questions of the board. It's just a time for public comment. If you'd like to talk with us offline, we're happy to do so. But this isn't a time where we get into a back and forth.
Just like everything else.
I would like to remind the people in the audience too that this, we will not take disruption or intimidating of others, as I said earlier in this.
Go ahead.
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you, but my concerns are the big growth that we have here, the traffic, and then when you mentioned wetlands, that scares me because we're losing our lake anyway. Is there a study on what it would affect to the lake and the drying up of the salt lake? And I'm worried about taxes too because we're retired, quite a few of us, and it impacts us greatly because some of us are close to losing homes to due to taxes. And the traffic situation, it takes me at least three times longer to get my doctor's office than it did maybe 4 years ago. And these are some of the things I've been worrying about. And it's scary to see how we're impacting all the world around us. Our air out here is terrible now. When we first moved out here over 50 years ago, you could see the smog from Salt Lake at the point. Now it's clear across our valley. So with the asthma and everything that the kids and that are having with the respiratory problems, has that been addressed at all too? And that's about all I have to mention, but it is a concern about the lake is my big thing right now. And thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for your comments. Next, we'll have Kendall Thomas, and then we will have Paul Larson after that.
Yes, and thank you for coming out. My name is Kendall Thomas. I'm currently a county councilman. In our April meeting, I was the one councilman who voted against this. And I'm sure you've heard the reasons why, and I echo all those. But particularly, I'd like to focus on transportation at this time. The need to, it's not going to be all rail service. There's going to be a lot of trucks going in and in and out of that inland port area. But I'd like to request your help in promoting the Mid Valley Highway. The Mid Valley Highway is where it comes off I-80. That's going to come in and connect to other highways in the valley. It would be 138, 112, and eventually 36. And we just had a bad accident on Highway 36, which is the main corridor through Tooele City. We need to have a corridor to move this traffic. And you can talk all you want about railroad, and that's very, very important. But Highway 30, what's going to go traffic is going to go south. So on February 8th and 9th, there's going to be a Mid-Valley Highway meeting here in Tooele. We need your support, and we need the support of this community to come out and say, we've got to raise the awareness and get that on the budgeting cycle for the Mid-Valley Highway. That is February 8th and 9th, and I appreciate your support. And there's some real pros and cons against this, and so we'll weigh that out as we go forward. But again, we need your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Paul Larson and then Phil Eaton.
Thank you. I'm Paul Larson. I'm Community and Economic Development Director for Brigham City. I'm here to express our support for the project that is on your agenda today for incentive approval. We've been working with this project for many months now and are excited about it coming to Brigham City. We believe it will be a great addition to our community. Like Tooele, we have thousands of Box Elder campers that commute out of Box Elder County for work every day. Over 4,000 of those commute to Salt Lake County on I-15. We are diligently trying to expand and diversify our economy in the county so that we have more options for our residents to have employment closer to home and also to contribute to our economy. The nature of this project is such that we believe it creates synergies for our agricultural producers. We have the highest wheat production in Utah in our county, and this provides a customer for potential customer for those wheat producers as well as our flour producers. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. All right, we'll next go to Phil Eaton, and Phil will be our last public comment.
Thank you. Appreciate this opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Phil Eaton, as you stated. My wife and I have lived here in Tooele County and Tooele City for the last 10 plus years. I serve as the CEO of a local hospital here, been a hospital administrator for almost 40 years now. Work with a lot of doctors, as you would expect in that. I'm originally from a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, and I grew up in the days when the industrial Midwest was going strong and pollution was going strong, and I've never been a smoker, and yet at this point in my life, I have left focal emphysema. I can see that this project is going forward. I can see that the first proposal came in October. This is the first week in December. So it hasn't been in that long a time coming in terms of the actual locations of the project. I do wonder if there's a possibility to go further west to spread the pollution out a bit. I too remember moving here 10 years ago and the pollution stopping at the point of the mountain from Salt Lake. And now we have a beautiful day today. Last week we weren't so lucky part of the week and having some of the aversions. I've gone back and read all the prior meeting minutes and presentations and the fact that there's going to be some efforts to mitigate some of the pollution with electric vehicles and the like. But clearly over the next 30 years plus, there's going to be more truck traffic and there will be more pollution that will impact this area. And I would encourage the board to look for more ways to mitigate that pollution. I guess it's probably inevitable anyway, we will see the kind of inversions that Salt Lake County has seen for decades. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Back to you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Ben. We appreciate those that gave public comment. And again, if you didn't get to make your public comment, you can leave those at inlandportauthority.utah.gov. I would just remind members of the audience as well that these project areas went through both local approval and now potential up for consideration for this board approval. So they've been through many layers of government to move forward. So if you have questions about the taxing and everything alike, I would encourage you to reach out to your county and city council members as they determined much of those taxations and everything else. So, Ben, Appreciate it. Let's move on to the three board policies that Amy talked about earlier, BP06, BP08, and BP09. Any comments from the board on any of those policies presented? No comments, then if we can get a motion to support those and a second from members of the board.
I'll go ahead and make that motion, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Representative Schultz. Ryan, can I get a second from you?
Second.
Perfect. Larry, will you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, Mike Schultz?
Yes.
Ryan Starks?
Yes.
Jerry Stevenson?
Yes.
Abby Osborne?
Yes. Next up, the board will consider the recruitment incentive for Bindor USA. Ben Byes, will you display the slide for the proposed motion, please? And if a board member can make that more motion.
Yes, it's coming up right now.
I'll make that motion, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Ryan. The motion is the Utah Inland Port Authority recommends an annual project area incentive property tax differential rebate equivalent up to 30% of the assessed property tax differential post completion of the development. 25 year, this rebate will provide annually no more than 25 years, provided continual operation within the project area. The incentive approval is subject to completion of the contract agreement and conditions of the project area plan and budget.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Larry, you could.
Yes. Ryan Starks?
Yes.
Mike Schultz?
Yes.
Jerry Stevenson?
Yes.
Abby Osborne?
Yes. So now why we're here today for the 20 wells in Tooele Valley Inland Port project areas, any other comments from Ben, either you in the room or any other board members prior to vote on those resolutions?
Madam Chair, if the board has none, maybe I'll just make a couple of quick comments.
Of course.
So let me just first say to the questions about, you know, the time that it took to be able to put this together, we've actually been coming out to Tooele to meet with local leaders and working through local governmental processes, I think since March or April. And this even extends well beyond that. This has been one of the areas that we've been, I think, to Madam Chair's earlier comment, these are the types of places we want to be able to focus, not only economically, but transportation logistics-wise. Let me explain that, and let me put a few things in play here that we've heard about today. Donald's presentation that he talked about with CPCS was absolutely critical. And for those who don't want to believe this, that's fine. It's your prerogative. We can't continue to put everything on trucks in the state of Utah. This trend is going the wrong direction. Utahns and our shippers depend more and more upon trucks. Guess what? Trucks don't go everywhere in the state, so economically you're disadvantaged. They put a lot of crap into the air, quite frankly, and so we've got a lot of pollution we're dealing with. And economically, depending on the freeway system, is never going to be our best strategy. We're never going to be able to attract the best and the brightest. What the Inland Port is doing here, and what we've been looking at over the last several months now, is an ability to try and create a better multimodal transportation system here in Tooele County. 75% of your neighbors are leaving the county every day because they can't find employment. What happens when that's your kids that suddenly can't find employment and they have to move out of state? If we're not thinking down the road about how our communities grow, then we're going to miss out on significant opportunities. I understand everyone may not feel that same way, but the reality is if we work together, which I believe we can and we will, then we can bring the best and brightest companies to Tooele. We can also do that in a way that will take traffic off of the roads and pollution out of the air. While we're doing that, because we are statutorily required to, we're also going to be creating money to help save the wetlands of the Great Salt Lake. All of those things can and will work together. Anybody who tells you something different is lying to you. I hate to say it that bluntly, but that's the case. Our intent with the Inland Port and this project area is not only to be good neighbors, but also to ensure that the right economic growth is happening, that we're good stewards of the environment, and also that we've got a good transportation system. So as we're working together, the commitment from the Port Authority is that we're going to be listening to you and that we're going to be working together with local officials to make sure that Tooele continues to grow the best way possible. So we look forward to being a good neighbor, a good citizen, to working with everybody, and to bringing about something in development that will really serve this community for generations to come. We appreciate your willingness to at least consider that this is going to be a really good thing for Tooele, and we look forward to proving that to the entire community. So thank you for having us here today. We appreciate it. And with that, Madam Chair, we'll turn it back to the board.
Thanks, Ben. Any other comments from board members? Okay, let's move on to the adoption of the resolution for the 20 wells inland port project area. Larry, can you read the resolution for the record, please, for the 20 wells?
Yes, Resolution 2023-12, a resolution of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board adopting the 20 wells inland port project area plan.
Do I have a motion to adopt that resolution 2023?
This is Senator Stevenson. I would so move.
Thanks, Senator.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Ryan. Larry, roll call vote, please.
Yes. Jerry Stevenson?
Aye, yes.
Ryan Starks?
Yes.
Mike Schultz?
Yes.
Abby Osborne?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next up in consideration is the 2023-13 resolution, the Tooele Valley Inland Port Project Area. Larry, can you read that for the record, please?
Yes, Resolution 2023-13, a resolution of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board adopting the Tooele Valley Inland Port Project Area Plan.
Do we have a motion on that resolution?
So moved.
Ryan, thank you. Second. Thanks, Senator Stevenson. Larry, roll call vote. Second.
Yes, Ryan Starks?
Yes.
Jerry Stevenson?
Yes.
Mike Schultz?
Yes.
Abby Osborne?
Yes. Thank you all for being there. As Ben mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we will have a time for members of the staff and members of the local community, both elected officials will have further conversations and a panel discussion. But we are adjourned of this meeting at this time. Can I get a motion for an adjournment?
So moved.
Thank you. That is non-negotiable. We thank everyone for being here today. That will conclude our meeting. Thanks again, staff, for all your work.